Well, it's about time to end the extra large solo show for this week. Gonna leave it with some lipstick traces for the Radioactive Girls. Coming up next here on Community Radio WERU-FM Blue Hill. This is Alan Sprake, the extra large soul show. Thanks for supporting Community Radio. Till next week, walk with beauty.
Early peoples kept track of the past in stories and cave paintings. We too tell stories, keep photos, and collect artifacts from bygone days. But local historical societies and museums are using some great new strategies to help us celebrate our past and add to our sense of place. This is Ron Beard of University of Maine Cooperative Extension and host of Talk of the Towns. On our next program, we'll speak with representatives of the Mount Desert Island Historical Society, the Abbey Museum, and the Maine Historical Society to learn how they are protecting and celebrating the stories of our towns and our state and passing on lessons and legacy. Your stories, questions, and comments are always welcome on this live call-in program. Make a note to join us on Friday morning, January 14th from 10 to 11. When the Talk of the Towns is celebrating local history, only on WERU Community Radio at 89.9 FM in Blue Hill and streaming live all around the planet at weru.org.
Radioactive is made possible in part by Artisan Builders, providing environmental design, construction, and renovation for homeowners and local businesses since 1992. 525-7740.
This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for January 13th, 2011. This is Meredith DeFrancesco with Amy Brown. Today we hear about a new study on who receives TANF, the state's temporary assistance for needy families, and why. On Tuesday, researchers and advocates and recipients of TANF, the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, will present a study titled Families in Focus, Moving Beyond Antidotes, Lessons for Legislators from a 2010 survey of TANF recipients. The LePage administration has indicated state social services will be examined for cuts, and he has expressed the intention to limit the time period state residents can receive assistance. The Maine Heritage Policy Center, a conservative think tank working closely with the administration, has also taken target at the state's poverty program recipients. We hear today from Anna Hicks with the Maine Equal Justice Project, followed by a member of the Maine Women's Lobby. Both organizations participated in the study.
Maine Equal Justice Partners, we represent people with low income in the State House, before Congress, and before administrative bodies in government. And so we do a lot of policy work and legal work related to policies and programs that are helping to move people out of poverty.
So talk with us about this study that will be released early next week, Families in Focus, Moving Beyond Antidotes, Lessons for Legislators from a 2010 survey on TANF recipients. We have come to a point where those who are receiving aid, any type of aid from the state, are being put under the microscope, we would even say being put under attack, basically, for the use of these programs. Can you talk with us about this report and what is behind this analysis and desire to present the information in this report?
Sure. You know, for too long, we really fear that the discussion about Maine's safety net programs have been driven by anecdotes and stereotypes. And so we wanted to do this in partnership with the University of New England, a researcher from the University of New England and a researcher from the University of Maine at Orono and the Maine Women's Lobby. We wanted to do this research to really help educate folks about what the TANF program. While we believe that the program can be improved, we all need to start with a common understanding of what TANF is and what it isn't. Otherwise, we fear the changes in the program could put struggling families further at risk while also damaging Maine's economy. So we really wanted to put out a report that put a spotlight on what the TANF program is and why people are turning to the TANF program for assistance and really who is receiving assistance through this program. So that's what this report does. We did a survey of over 1,000 TANF recipients and have an incredible wealth of data to share with everyone about what the experience of TANF families are and why they're turning to the program. And so we hope that this data will be used in the legislature, in the governor's office, to be able to set policy going forward for the TANF program.
So can you give some of that background now for listeners about how these programs are used and talk a little bit about this idea that many people are recipients for long periods of time, the impression that we're being given from the governor's office right now that that's the case, and in looking at the statements from the Department of Health and Human Services and folks like you, that doesn't necessarily seem to be the case. But talk about who uses it and why, and particularly in this climate.
Sure. So our study focused on the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program in particular. And so most of the families on TANF, which is really the state's welfare program, it's the national welfare program, and TANF is what we call it in Maine, along with the national level, they call it that as well, but that's our program in Maine. It stands for the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. So it helps families with supports and also with education and training and helping people who are out of work or working but not making enough to make ends meet, helps them to fill their gaps, and also helps those who are out of work to try to get the education and training that they need to get back into the workforce. And so most TANF families are headed by women raising very young children on their own. 92% of the survey respondents were women. We think this reflects the large majority of TANF families are headed by women. And the folks who responded, the children were very young. The median age of a child receiving TANF in our survey was just under 2 years old. So that says a lot about the struggles that single moms have with younger children. Most families received assistance for a short amount of time. The median length of time that families reported receiving TANF was 18 months. So people were not receiving it for a long period of time. But I will say that, and I'll emphasize this later, we will talk about those folks who are on for longer periods of time and why, and the disability that exists in those households. We found that those who were on after 5 years, either the parent faced a work-limiting disability themselves, or they had a child or another family member with a disability. And that was almost 90% of the folks on after 5 years were in that situation. But overall, respondents have a significant labor market experience. 97% of respondents have work experience with an average of 3 jobs in the past 5 years. So it's not that people aren't working. It's that they find that they must turn to TANF because of the instability of work in the low-wage job market. Families on TANF are receiving exceptionally low wages. The average wage for a working respondent was $8.36. And over time, we found that incomes for TANF recipients have not gone up at the same rate as the rest of the population. Just another fact is that we found that the $8.36 was only 4.5% higher than the average wage found in a survey of TANF families in 2001. So, and by comparison, Maine's average weekly wages for all workers during the same period increased by 20.3%. So, the wages for average workers have increased at more than four times as much as the increase for TANF families. So these folks are facing real challenges as they try to support their families and stay in the labor market, and there's a real instability in the work that they are able to get. Many talked about lack of childcare being a barrier. 28% of respondents said that their inability to find or afford childcare caused them to turn to TANF, and nearly 60% of TANF families reported that having work schedules that involved irregular hours that made it difficult to establish childcare arrangements. So the instability is childcare, finding childcare when you have irregular hours is very challenging. Another barrier is that a large number of TANF families lack access to transportation. Nearly 46% of all respondents did not own a vehicle. So that's another big barrier that families are facing. 80% said that they had difficulty getting transportation when they needed it. So folks are really struggling with being able to stay in the labor force for a number of reasons. Another big issue for folks, another reason that people are turning to TANF is there is a high rate of work-limiting disabilities within the population. As I said, those who are on for longer tend to face disability. But overall, 67% of all households that responded to our survey had at least one family member with a disability. So there's a high rate of disability. And the third reason, so the first reason that folks are turning to TANF is the instability of work in the low-wage labor market, the second really being illness and disability. And the third reason is family-related problems, including divorce, separation, or domestic abuse. So that's really the bulk of what our survey found. Is that these are the main reasons that folks are turning to TANF for assistance.
And can you talk about your concerns and your organization's concerns with the governor's proposals as you understand them to be, and some of the information and proposals that have been coming out of the Maine Heritage Policy Center concerning welfare reform?
Mm-hmm. So we still have, we are still learning about what this administration wants to put forward, and we have not had the opportunity to sit down with the governor or his staff yet, and look forward to doing that to discuss the results of our survey, our experience with working with TANF families, and talk to them about what they'd like to put forward. The governor did mention in his inaugural address that he would like to see time limits in the TANF program. We were pleased with that he highlighted a Parents of Scholars recipient. So the Parents of Scholars program is a program that helps helps parents on the TANF program access post-secondary education. It's been widely successful in helping families to access higher education and eventually move their families out of poverty. We think it's definitely an important program to highlight and one to continue to support. But we do have concerns with his proposal to place time limits on the TANF program for just the reason that I was talking about. There are folks that, the vast majority of folks that come onto TANF only need it for a temporary amount of time. They only need it for a short amount of time to get their feet on the ground, maybe at a bad time in their lives when they've lost their job or they're struggling to support their families. They may need to turn to TANF for assistance, and then they may move off of assistance. But for a chunk of people, they really do need the support for a longer period of time, and we've really found those are the folks that face the most significant barriers to work, that face disability in their household. And we worry that a five-year time limit would put at risk the health and well-being of these families who are really struggling on a daily basis to make ends meet and really need the assistance of TANF. And it's not only about the parents, it's also about the kids in this program. There are 25,000 kids who are receiving assistance through TANF right now. And so this program is exceptionally important for helping families be able to get by and for helping kids.
She spoke about the governor's recent announcement concerning services for immigrants.
What he did do was rescind an executive order that former Governor Baldacci had put in place that basically said that that state agencies should not go above and beyond what federal and state law already call for in terms of asking for citizenship and documentation of legal status. So, for instance, in the Medicaid program, the federal law already requires that the Department of Health and Human Services ask for documentation for or verify citizenship and verify legal status. So this is already done in the vast majority of programs in the Department of Health and Human Services, and undocumented immigrants cannot get benefits right now through the Department of Health and Human Services, either Medicaid, TANF, or food stamps. They can't get any of those programs right now. So what it did was we fear that it may make immigrants uncomfortable about going into the offices because they won't understand what the executive order really meant. If you are here legally, there are programs for legal immigrants that they are eligible for, and we don't want to deter folks from getting the services that they need and that they are eligible for. And so we fear that the executive order could deter some folks who don't understand what the executive order means.
And we are coming towards the end of the interview here. Are there other aspects that you want to talk about in the work that you do at Maine Equal Justice Partners and this issue that the report covers?
Yeah, one thing I forgot to mention is that, you know, our TANF benefits are very low and have not increased since 2001. In fact, the maximum TANF monthly TANF benefit that a family of three can get is $485 per month, and that is equal to 32% of the federal poverty level. So families who are living on TANF are living in deep poverty, and in fact, we have the lowest benefit in all of New England. So it's really important that people put that into context and understand that families who are living, who are receiving TANF really are living in deep poverty. I just hope folks will you know, go to our website after Tuesday. We are releasing the report on Tuesday. We will have more information up on our website at www.mejp.org about our report. And we just believe that it's really important that we understand the facts as we're moving forward and looking at addressing issues around these programs. It's not that we don't want to we don't believe that these programs need to be improved. We, in fact, do believe that there are some things that we can do to really improve these programs to ensure that they are working for the state of Maine, working for our economy, and also working for the people of Maine. But we think that that our changes and policies should be based on fact and the true experiences of families in Maine.
Great. Thanks for joining us, Anna Hicks, with the Maine Equal Justice Partners.
Thank you, Meredith.
Again, that was Anna Hicks with the Maine Equal Justice Project. You are listening to Radio Active. We also spoke with Sarah Standiford with the Maine Women's Lobby, which is also presenting the study entitled Families in Focus, Moving Beyond Antidotes, Lessons for Legislators from a 2010 Survey on TANF Recipients.
My name is Sarah Standiford. I'm Executive Director of the Maine Women's Lobby, and the organization has been working since 1978 to improve opportunities for women and girls through legislative action and by engaging women in the political process.
And so we just were talking with Maine Equal Justice Partners about this study that's going to be released concerning the experiences of Maine families on the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF, and some of the other public assistance programs, particularly in this climate where we're seeing this new governor speak of the dependency of welfare in this state and seem to be indicating that this is a place that cuts may be made. Can you, again, Anna did outline some statistics in this regards, but can you talk with us about the experiences that you've come to know of women and children who are utilizing these programs and some of that larger context?
Sure. And, you know, I think it's important that the title of this report is called Families in Focus. And that's because, you know, as the debate really has continued about welfare writ large and public assistance programs, sometimes we think the debate has lost sight of the individuals who are affected and who benefit by these programs. So our goal was to share lessons for legislators and the public from these direct surveys of more than 1,000 Maine families. And what we learned is probably not surprising. You know, safety net programs are more important now than ever. In fact, as Governor LePage pointed out in his inaugural address, the TANF program does help and has helped Maine families succeed. We are particularly proud of the experience of individuals who've benefited from the Parents of Scholars program, which is access to a 2 or 4 year degree program that helps recipients meet their requirements and be able to get a education to help access a high-paying job. And so those are the types of strategies that we really want to bring into focus as well. But the fact is the experience of you know, recipients of TANF has changed because our economy has changed. When TANF was, you know, first created, the U.S. economy was very strong. Its policies were predicated on the idea that jobs were plentiful and anyone who wanted a job could find one. And that's just not the case anymore. And so that's one of the contexts by which we must analyze the program.
So one statistic that was brought up earlier was that the amount of people that stay on for that longer period of time has proved to be more the exception than the rule, particularly it's in the cases of disability, but many people who come through the program may only use it for a year and a half as a stepping stone. But what I'm hearing you saying too, that we have to be careful with limits if indeed we're seeing the economy that it is, it may actually, statistics may change and require that people may need to be on for a little longer.
Exactly. And again, we're talking about nearly 15,000 families, and that's 25,000 Maine children who are currently benefiting from the program. And for those who need to access the program and specifically for, you know, for longer than the, you know, 2 year median, it's really about three reasons. I mean, one is low-income women, and we are talking about 9 out of 10 TANF recipients as women, struggling to find stable and secure employment. For them, TANF is about the inadequacy of low-paying jobs with inflexible hours that make it impossible to support a family or care for children. You know, TANF becomes unemployment insurance. TANF becomes an opportunity to get support if you lose a job because you need to take care of a sick child, for example. For many, TANF is about major health problems and severe limits to, you know, their ability to work and the need to provide critical care for family members. So for them, TANF becomes a program to provide supports while a family member is struggling to care for themselves or a family member. And for still others, we learned from this report that, recipients are frequently facing devastating family-related crises. And for nearly 1 out of 4, for nearly a quarter of respondents, domestic violence was a concern. For others, separation or divorce had altered their family scenarios. And so TANF becomes a critical support for families who are facing hardships.
And can you talk about some of these other perspectives that are being brought in? Primarily, we're hearing a lot from the Maine Heritage Policy Center, which appears to be informing some of these policy directions that the governor's office is taking. Can you talk about some of the information that's being put out there, concerns or responses, and what your thoughts are about this policy, proposed policy shift?
Well, I mean, I think where we'd agree with the Maine Heritage Policy Center is that, you know, while views differ about the program, we all agree that the program must change. But the question is how to make those changes and how will they affect families and help them succeed in a changing economy? And upon what information do you base those decisions? You know, our concern is that, you know, for too long, the debate about Maine safety net programs has really been driven by anecdotes about stereotypes and kind of the behavior of people on TANF. What we really need to base these decisions on is credible, rigorous information. And so that's why we commissioned the study, because this is essentially the first major comprehensive and rigorous study of TANF families since 1995.
Tell us a little bit more about this study, who was a part of it, who conducted it, and what impressed you about your findings.
Well, the study was conducted by two professors, one, Professor Tom Chalmers McLaughlin from the University of New England. It was the principal, and he did essentially a survey of that was mailed to over 6,000 randomly selected Maine TANF households. The response rate was incredible. It was 17%. So over 1,000 people responded. And, sampling frames were, created in order to ensure statistical representation of those families at the time. So the information is, generalizable to the larger population. And then the survey was supplemented with qualitative research, including focus groups and phone interviews. So we got a deeper understanding of the survey findings as they related to individual lives. And that's really, that's the kind of information that lawmakers try to seek, both the quantitative and the qualitative analysis. And I have to say that that's not what's offered by the Maine Heritage Policy Center. But beyond some of the facts that you heard from Anna about in terms of what we found, we actually also just had the incredible voices of some of the individuals who responded, who were able to communicate, either in writing or by phone survey about their experience. And, just to give you an example, we've heard from, here's a 28-year-old mother of two living in Westbrook, for example, saying she lost her job because she had to call out of work because her kids were sick and she didn't have any backup babysitters. And, she had to find somebody every week, but they kept changing her hours. So she lost her job, even though she liked working there and it was providing a good wage. But unfortunately, because of child care and, providing for a sick child, she was unable to keep that occupation. That's an experience that we heard time and time again. Inflexible hours, the worry that once you'd get a job, that those hours would be changed and you wouldn't be able to find child care, et cetera, to match up. And we also, heard from individuals largely working in the retail and service sectors. So I think about 70% of respondents said that's where, they were focused their work, and by and large, those jobs pay less than the average. And so the experience of recipients who are trying to move from assistance to work is that they're largely finding jobs in the underpaid segment of the market.
Are there changes that you would see or recommend that could take place concerning the TANF program or other welfare programs?
Absolutely. And I think the biggest opportunity is with access to skill development, education, and training. Where Maine has been so incredibly successful is with the Parents of Scholars program, which I mentioned before. And that allows recipients to both get the support services they need while working for a 2- or 4-year degree and have that meet their work requirements. And so, recipients who benefit from Parents of Scholars are going into jobs that pay on average 50% more than those who don't. So they are going into the job opportunities that are going to support a family. And so I think we need to expand and promote opportunities to develop new skills, expand Parents of Scholars, look for ways to amend the federal law to encourage states to be able to adopt those kinds of strategies. And that will go a long way. There are other changes as well that we could consider making. One would be to, increase access to work supports like child care and transportation for families before they have to turn to TANF, because for so many, when you lack child care or transportation, you can't hold down the job, and so TANF becomes the next step. And so if we found ways to support more families in accessing child care and transportation, that would prevent the need for TANF. I think, there are other opportunities that are going to come before lawmakers in Maine more immediately. Certainly looking at expanding, for example, the state earned income tax credit, which would, provide more income back into the pockets of Maine families. Helping the unemployment insurance program better support unemployed low-wage workers. It's low-wage workers who are primarily underserved by the unemployment insurance program, and for them, TANF becomes kind of the unemployment insurance program of de facto. So that's an opportunity as well. But, you know, in this environment, at the very least, we need to make sure that lawmakers are basing their decisions on credible information, not broad sweeping stereotypes.
Great. Anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I thank you for bringing this this conversation to light. It's it's so important, and it's something that, of course, people are talking about at the at mailboxes and at the water cooler, and we hope that we can lend some real information to the debate.
Thank you, Sarah Standiford with the Maine Women's Lobby, for joining us today.
Thank you.
We will be extending interview offers to the Maine Policy Heritage Center on a forthcoming program. They released a report this past fall titled Fix the System, Freeing Maine Families from Welfare Dependency. The director of the Maine Heritage Policy Center helped lead Governor LePage's transition team, and another center analyst will serve as one of the governor's senior policy advisors. On Tuesday, the Maine Equal Justice Project and the Maine Women's Lobby, along with researchers, advocates, and TANF recipients, will publicly release the study, Families in Focus, Moving Beyond Antidotes. Again, you can see that study at the Maine Equal Justice website on Tuesday. This has been Radioactive, a weekly grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. You can listen to archives of this and other local WERU public affairs programs at weru.org. You can contact us at news@weru.org. Thank you for listening and acting. You're listening to WERU.